This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Law enforcement officers pepper sprayed peaceful protesters in Alamance County this weekend on the last day of early voting. A group of about 150 people were participating in a legacy march to the polls in downtown Graham that included a stop at the controversial Confederate monument there. WUNC Politics reporter Rusty Jacobs was in Graham on Saturday and joins us now to talk about what happened. Welcome back, Rusty.
Thank you, Frank.
I just want to put out this reminder. Tomorrow is Election Day, so you can go to the North Carolina Board of Elections website, ncsbe.gov, to find out more information about voting, if you plan to be at the polls or plan to mail in your ballot. All of that information is there at the website. Rusty, you were in Graham on Saturday to cover the last day of early voting. What was the atmosphere like before you learned about the march?
Yeah, the first place I went was the Alamance County Annex Building, an early voting site in downtown Graham, just two blocks from the protest you mentioned in the intro and that we'll talk about. A starkly different scene than the one that unfolded at the protest. At the early voting site, there was a moderately sized line. People were pretty cheerful. There was a volunteer with a grassroots group called Down Home North Carolina, Bridget Flaherty. She's a co-founder of the group. She was wearing a whoopee cushion in honor of Halloween. They were handing out treats, and relations between her and other either campaigners or group members and voters have been peaceful throughout the entire early voting period. That's according to her, and that's according to other people I've spoken at other polling sites. So it was a mild, sunny Halloween and a pretty happy scene over there.
So when did you learn about the march?
I was talking to voters coming out of the polling site there when I heard a buzz in the air, and I looked up and there was a drone, a small drone going back and forth. And I commented on it, and somebody said, "Oh, that must be because of the march. Are you here to cover that?" I didn't know what they were talking about. I literally did not know that a protest or a rally had been scheduled for the day. I heard that it was a Black Lives Matter organized rally, and it turned out to be a little bit more than that. It was billed a legacy march to the polls, and it was organized by a church group and other demonstrators there in Alamance County. And I went to where I was told this was happening. I arrived just as a throng of about 150 people carrying banners and flags marched peacefully to this Confederate monument there right outside the courthouse in Graham. And they gathered around and started with a fairly peaceful, silent, 8-plus-minute vigil in honor of George Floyd and other victims of police brutality.
Then what happened after that? What did you see once you joined the march? And again, you're in the midst of this, and you're at the Confederate Monument, as you say, a vigil, silent for at least a part of that. Then what happened?
So after the vigil, I heard organizers with bullhorns saying, "Now we're going to set up a stage." And I started to walk around the periphery of the demonstration and was going to head back to the polling site, which was my original focal point for the day. And then I heard a commotion, and I turned around and then saw two people whose hands had been secured behind their back with plastic ties being led by police to a sidewalk. I quickly took out my phone, started recording, along with other reporters and other people who may have just been bystanders. And we asked the first gentleman if he knew why he was being arrested. He said no. I went over, along with some other people, to the second person, asked the gentleman why he had been arrested, and he said it was failure to obey commands. Now, what I could gather at that point, and what I heard from both police statements and from the people around me, was that the police wanted to clear the area around the monument, which was in the middle at the intersection of two streets, and get everybody, all the protesters, behind barriers, which had been set up between the courthouse grounds and the street, and then a line of cones on the other side of the street. And so that was the first kind of commotion, was just the police trying to corral protesters behind these barriers. Again, things seemed to subside. I started to walk back towards the polling site, again heard a commotion, turned around, noticed people were moving quickly away from the center, away from that Confederate monument. I walked towards where they were leaving, and that's when I got a breath of pepper spray. My throat started to close. It wasn't terrible. I wasn't overcome by it, and I suddenly noticed all the people who were streaming in the other direction were coughing, doubled over, and were yelling, and that's when I understood that pepper spray had been deployed.
And, of course, many of us have seen the video of police using pepper spray, spraying the crowd of demonstrators. When did you see that? Did you see the scene where the police had confronted the demonstrators with pepper spray?
I did not. I could tell, and then, of course, what I could tell from my vantage point, which is, I'd say, about 50 to 75 yards from where the pepper spray was deployed. But in the pictures I've seen from various news agencies, I could tell that that all happened at the grounds of the courthouse, which I will say, according to statements from Lieutenant Daniel Sisk, who is a Graham Police Department officer, he held a press conference yesterday, Sunday. My understanding from what he said was sheriff's deputies with the Alamance County Sheriff's Office under Terry Johnson, they were responsible for policing the grounds of the courthouse. That's where the pepper spray was deployed. Graham Police, they were wearing dark blue uniforms with red decals on their shoulder. They were policing the streets around the demonstration area. So my understanding is Graham Police were not directly involved with deploying the pepper spray. Not saying their procedures were not coordinated with the other law enforcement agencies, but it was the courthouse grounds where the pepper spray was deployed.
And Graham Police Department did talk about the use of pepper spray. Here's Lieutenant Daniel Sisk.
We never directly sprayed anyone in the face. It was all directed towards the ground in an effort to disperse the crowd.
Now that's Graham Police Department Lieutenant Daniel Sisk talking about what happened on Saturday. WNC Politics reporter Rusty Jacobs is my guest now. That's him contradicting what he said. Some of the photos, I mean, he said we didn't use, and then you're saying, well, the Graham Police claimed that they didn't use it. He is a Graham Police officer. Is there any way to sort that out?
I can't sort it out beyond my observations, the pictures of what happened on the courthouse grounds and Lieutenant Sisk's comments. I can say that, look, this was a multi-agency operation. There were Alamance County Sheriff's deputies covering the courthouse grounds. There were Graham Police officers in the streets around the demonstration area. And there were also North Carolina State Patrol officers who were kind of monitoring the movements of the crowd. I guess, controlling roadways. I don't think Lieutenant Sisk's, or I'm not suggesting or claiming that his statements at the press conference were aimed at misleading, refuting, or intentionally false. I think that in these kinds of operations that unfold in certainly an unplanned way, there is a chance at gaps in communication or even discrepancies in facts on the ground and after operation statements. I'm not saying it may have been a plan to not deploy pepper spray up above it, like head or shoulder level, but it looks from the pictures like that did happen. I'll say this, that Lieutenant Sisk's comments are that the dispute comes down to this. There was a permit for a rally, but his contention is that the permit entitled the demonstrators to gather around the monument and then have a rally on the courthouse grounds, but not to block streets by marching to the polls after the rally.
All right. How have North Carolina officials reacted to what happened this weekend?
Attorney General Josh Stein came out with a Twitter statement not long after or sometime later on Saturday, and said he was troubled by it. He said he looked into it and consulted with the State Board of Elections, and his understanding is that the rally, while troubling, did not disrupt early voting at that polling site just two short blocks away from the rally site. Governor Cooper came out with a statement that said the behavior of the police was unacceptable, and he said that voter intimidation in any form would not be tolerated. And the any form, while not explicitly stated by the governor, could suggest that even by government actors, voter intimidation or suppression would not be tolerated.
Let me ask you, I've got two more questions for you in very little time, but the first one along those lines, did you notice, could you in any way tell if voting was deterred in any way? Was anyone prevented from voting because of that action?
I didn't go right back to the polling site and verify. Let me put it this way. I went back to the polling site, and it was a happy scene. I mean, it's literally two short blocks away. The scene there, both before and after the rally, stood in stark contrast to what happened around the monument and the deployment of pepper spray. I'll say that on my drive out of town, which was at about 2 o'clock, an hour before the final, before polls were supposed to close for early voting, I saw throngs of marchers who had been at the rally walking towards the polling site. I did not verify or corroborate whether they actually ended up there. So I can't answer definitively whether it disrupted the voting.
Last question very quickly. Tomorrow's election day, what advice do you have for people who have filled out their absentee ballots but not mailed them in?
Very important. If you can't vote in person tomorrow at an election site, then you need to take that ballot, that mail-in ballot, and bring it personally to the local elections board. Do not put it in the mail at this point. While there is an extension for counting ballots postmarked by Election Day but received and accepted, that means no deficiencies after Election Day, if you want to absolutely be sure your vote is counted, go in person, cast a ballot at a polling site tomorrow, or take that mail-in ballot and directly deliver it to your elections board.
Rusty Jacobs, WNC Politics Reporter. Rusty, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
As always, links at our website, stateofthings.org, North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.